The Gemara in Bava Kamma, the sugya of Isha Shemchitzav, as we began to see yesterday, it at first looks like a very specific, localized discussion within one of the Avos Nezikin, namely Eish. Do we think of it as being this model or that model? Is it like a Chetz, or is it like Mammon? Which at first we looked at and we said, we don't understand why we even need to explain what it is. And if we do, these seem like two unrelated, or what's being added by these models. And as we began to unpack the Gemara yesterday, we saw, number one, we begin to understand that when the Gemara says, like a chetz or like mammon, the Gemara is really asking a larger, lamdish question. Do we see Eish as Maisa Adam or not Maisa Adam? Which number one means that we're not limited to one Av Nezek of Eish. We're actually asking, when is Eish not Eish? This patur of Tamun, as the Gemara tells us at the end of the sugya, every time you light a fire and it spreads, there's always a patur of Tamun, as Reish Lakish seems to say, because there's always Eish. Or is it the case that much of the time when you light a person lights a fire and it spreads, that's actually Adam HaMazik? There's fire involved, but that's classified as Adam HaMazik because Yishu Mishim Chitza, because we see that as your Maisa. The Gemara says, even Reb Yochanan agrees that sometimes Eish is Eish, that it is after all a Petur of Tamun, but that's in a case of Kalu Lo Chitza, where his arrows have stopped. That's again taking the metaphor, you know, working with that metaphor of seeing lighting a fire and the wind spreading it, or spreading on its own as an arrow flying. Sometimes the arrow stopped. In other words, if when I lit the fire, it couldn't have spread that far because there was a wall, there was some sort of barrier, and the barrier comes down only after I lit the fire. So then already that's not part of my original Maisa. That's just the Av Nezek of Eish. That's the point we just see as merely Mammon HaMazik rather than as Maisa. And what that also expands our view much more, because once you realize that the Gemara is what the Gemara is debating, what the Amoraim, Yochanan, Tzokhash are debating, is what it's really a question about how you define Maisa Adam. What's considered to be a person's action, and where you draw the line, where you draw the boundary. I did something, I did an initial act, and then it spread. And it continued to have impact. So how much of that is called Maisa Adam? So one afgemina is, when is arson Adam HaMazik, and when is arson Mammon HaMazik, namely Eish? With nafgeminas for Tamun, with nafgeminas for, could we, if a person's body was injured as a result of the fire, would we say you're a chovel, you're chayv dal dvarim, or not? We want to know how would it apply to an animal that lights a fire, which is the original Mishnah Chafalov. And then the Gemara even gave us one more nafgemina that opened our eyes even further. How about beyond nezek, ritzicha? Rachman Letzlan, a person murders by fire. Lights a fire and the fire spreads, and ultimately that fire engulfs another human being, Rachman Letzlan, and he dies. So that was terrible. That was horrific. Is it an act of murder, or is it what we would call maybe in colloquial English manslaughter? Is that his maisa? Did you just cause someone's death, or you actually committed an act of murder? The Gemara says, as you saw in Chabez and Abez, that's one of the four Tashmas, depends on whether you hold Isho Shum Chitzav or Isho Mishum Mimono. And the Gemara, and we have Mishnayos that indicate you are Chayiv Misa. And the Gemara's solution for Eish Lakish is, well, it must be Eish Lakish, so in that case, the fellow directly held the torch, Rachman Letzlan. Barbarity, directly held a torch to someone else's body, that's directly his maisa. But we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara had four tashmas, all in support of Rabbi Yochanan. And then the Gemara at the bottom of Amid Beis says, and we have a pasuk that indicates Rabbi Yochanan, and we have a brace that says, Beferish, Yishum Shum Chitzav. We hold like Rabbi Yochanan. We say that that Koach Achim Urbo is still considered Kochi. I did an act, and it was moved forward by harnessing some other natural force, that's all still considered to be my Maisa. Now what's fascinating about the Ritzicha piece is we've moved beyond Nezek. We're coming to realize this is Nezek is an example. It comes up in Bava Kamma because it's relevant to how you understand a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, but Kelev Shonot Al Harara. So the initial example was Nezek. But then machlokas goes way beyond the world of nizkei mamon. It could talk about riktar ritzicha, and we could talk about a host of other areas. We could talk about, for instance, kinyan mashicha. I'm going to be kona an animal or a fish by drawing it in. I did a mashicha. Now, how do I do a mashicha? So I could do a mashicha by actually, I'm buying your chihuahua, and I actually pick up the chihuahua, and I move it, I take a hagbah mashicha, I actually physically pick it up and put it somewhere else. But let's say it's a larger animal. A little harder to do mashicha. Easier, harder. It's once involved with a fellow, a holy Jew, wanted to bikona a chamora, wanted to bikona a donkey, because it was going to give him the opportunity to make the mitzvah of pinyan pet chamor. So he wanted to bikona the chamora, so you had to figure out how to do a kinyan on the chamora. Without getting into too many details, buying from a nachri, so you have to, what we discussed before Pesach, about the suffix, which kinyanim work. They're trying to do mishicha out of the Rishus HaMocher onto the sidewalk, which was a distance away, and the donkey was not so cooperative. But sometimes it can be difficult. How are you going to do mishicha on a donkey? Yeah. A stubborn donkey, exactly, a stubborn donkey. So the Gemara talks about, well, let's say I whistle to the donkey and it walks over. Korei lavi hiba. The Gemara in Kiddushin, in the Chafs, in the Mishnah, the sugyas of Kinyane Behema. Kori lo vihiba, you whistle to it, and you call to it, and it comes. That's also considered to be a Kinyan Meshicha. How is that a Meshicha? I didn't move it, I whistled, and then it came. Classic example of Koach Achim Uruvbo. I did initial act, and then I harnessed the natural force of the animal. And that's considered to be not the animal's Meshicha, my Meshicha. So much so, Shechter quotes, he has in each of his three Svarim, he has an article about defining the boundaries of Maisa Adam. The piece in Eretz HaTzvi, is a piece in Bikvei Hatzon, and is a piece in Guinness Echoes. The piece in Bikvei Hatzon, Siman Zayin, is the most relevant to this sugya in particular, though there's definitely overlap in the other articles as well. So he points out, and this brings us to the next issue in the world of Korach HaChem Urvbo, and it'll bring us to the next issue and the next area, the next application. The Ktsos and the Sivas have a debate, Siman Reish Ayin Gimel, how does it work with fish? If I have a net and I put bait in the net, and then the fish comes streaming towards the bait. So, is that also, or was I already kona those fish as soon as they start to move? Korilov hiba, or not? So the Ktsos raises that problem. It sounds like you're not kona the fish as soon as they start moving. Shouldn't that also be koach achmer? I put out the bait draws the fish, and the fish use their own koach acher, their natural ability for locomotion, to come. So it doesn't work with people. The Gemara says it doesn't work with people. Fellow whistles to the Eved comes, that's not Koach HaChem Urvbo, because the Eved has his own Bechir Chafshas. That's not Koach HaChem, that's his Koach. But whenever you're harnessed, but if you're harnessing, if I whistle to an animal and it comes, we don't see the animals having independent neshama with Koach HaChem, but with a Bechir Chafshas, not human, and that's considered Koach HaChem Urvbo, which I harnessed, becomes part of my Maisa. So when I say it by the fish, Why not say it by the fish? So the Nesivus raises the following issue. So Rav Shechter said the Nesivus has one way of saying this. The Chaim and Hilchos Shechem Perek is another way of saying this. Chaznish says the same thing with a third twist. And Rav Shechter heard the Rav say this idea several times, particularly I think of the Shiurim and Sanhedrin, which he heard when he was 16, 17, 18 years old. The following idea, that the Gemara, this takes us a next concept and next application. Right? We spoke about seeing Koach HaChem Urvbo, the definition of Maisa in the world of Nezek and Kabbalah, in the world of Ritzicha, in the world of Kinyan Meshicha. Actually, let's go back to the world of Ritzicha. Gemara Sanhedrin wants to know, Rachmal Tzlam, the Sugis of Ritzicha. a fellow takes Rachman Tzlan, Reuven directly kills Shimon, so Reuven's Rotzeach. Reuven wants to delude himself into thinking that he didn't actually do the murder. He's not going to directly shoot Shimon. He's not going to decapitate Shimon. No. He'll truss up Shimon and leave Shimon in the desert and drive away. And the sun will do its work. Kefaso b'chama. Or, I'm not going to kill Shimon. Reuven says, I'm not going to kill Shimon. I'll just handcuff Shimon, lower him into the lion's den, and walk away. Right? Think about the story, the episode in Sefer Daniel. Right? So, would you say, well, he's not a Rotzeach. He didn't. Reuven said, I didn't kill him, the lion killed him. I didn't kill him, the Sahara Desert, the sun killed him. So the Gemara said, so we would say, based on the sugya, I mean, kochachem urvbo, ishu shem chitza, right? I did a maisa, and then the sun continued. I harnessed the power of the sun, I harnessed the power of the animal. Chayiv. So the Gemara said, Sanhedrin, it depends. The Gemara says, either way, it's morally heinous and criminal, but can we call it an act of ritzicha, of murder, as opposed to manslaughter? Is it my maisa? Or is it gram ritzicha? The Gemara says, depends, whether kefaso b'chama or sof chama lavo. There's a difference between leaving him there at 11 o'clock in the morning and leaving him there at 11 o'clock at night. If I leave him there at 11 o'clock in the morning, kefaso b'chama, I tied him up in the sun, kaf pei taf vav, kefaso b'chama, if I tie him up in the sun, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, on daf ayin zayin, in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, I tie him up in the sun, and then the sun proceeds to Rachmal Tzlan, gruesome, bakes him to death. So the Reuven who left Shimon there out in the sun, then drove off in his 4x4, Reuven is Chayav Misa. That's an absolute act, that's a Maisa Ritzicha. That's not merely Gram Ritzicha. What'd you say?
What does that mean, bakes him?
He dies of heat exposure. He leaves him in the Sahara Desert, leaves him under the sun. Now, the next couple of hours, he dies. He's in the 110 degree weather with no water, and Rachman Tzlan, he dies of heat exposure. So the Gemara says, if Reuven leaves him there when the sun is already shining, even though it may take minutes or hours for him to finally pass away, Reuven is Chayiv Misa. That's an actual act of Ritzicha. If, however, Reuven leaves him there at night, leaves him there at 11 o'clock at night. 11 o'clock at night, the desert is cool.
It's still not nice.
But you, not only is it not nice, Beis Din could go after you, but for Gram Ritzicha, not for an actual Maisa Ritzicha. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? I mean, do you pass like Rebbechim, pass like Rish Lakish? If you pass like Rish Lakish, then presumably it's not Ritzicha anyway, because Kochach Murvbo is not my Maisa. Gram Ritzicha, but I'm not the Ratzeach. And we pass in clearly like Rebbe Yochanan. So then, what's the difference between Kefaso Bechama versus Sof Chama Lavo? So what appears to be going on, and again, so the Rav spoke directly about this Gemara, but those other three Achronim, the Nesiv, the Subchai, and the Chaznish, are all talking along these lines. This idea of Koach Acham Uruvbo, that if I harness some other natural force to work together with my Maisa, it's all considered an extension of my Maisa, it has limits. It has limits. One limit is what our Gemara says at the end of the Sugya and Chav Gimel Alf, Kalolo Chitzav. It has to have been able to play itself out, not that there was some barrier that only came down later. And somewhat similar, though not the same, is what this Gemara Sanhedrin, Dafai and Zion is saying. In order for the natural force, the Koach Acher, to relate to my Koach and to be considered merely an extension of my Koach, and everything happens as part of my Maitza, it needs to either already be at work when I do my Maisa, or it begins to work immediately after my Maisa. So if Reuven puts Shimon out in the sun, and the sun is already shining, so then that's a direct hemshech, that's direct continuation. So we see the sun as plugging in, as merely an extension of his Maisa. It's koach acher me'uruv bo. The other koach, in the machmir sense, that other koach relates, is just an extension intertwined with my young koach. But if the other situation in Sanhedrin, where Reuven's koach was at 11 o'clock at night, for a couple of hours, nothing's happening. And then at 4 or 5 in the morning, the sun rises, or whenever the sun rises at that time of the year, and then the sun begins to bake, So that's gram. You knew it was happening. It clearly gram ratzicha. But it's not a meiser ratzicha. That's not considered my action. Because if the koach hachra only starts a significant amount of time after my action ends, so then we can't say that that's an extension of my meiser. Did you cause it? Yes, it's a grama. Gram b'nizakin is pater, but chay b'dine shamayim. Grama by ratzicha is very, very severe, but not still not a chi of misa. It's not a maisa. In terms of defining maisa adam, so that's a very, very important concept. The distinction between kefaso b'chama, the Gemara Sanhedrin, ayin zayin, kefaso b'chama versus sof chama lavo. That comes up also in the following world. Another very important practical application. I imagine most of you don't engage often in nezek al-yidei koach hachmurbo. You don't often leave someone's things in the wind to blow off the roof and fall down to the ground and smash. The Gemara's in the first parak. Certainly nothing more severe than that. Rahman al-Slan. But I'll tell you that there are other types of koach hachmurbo that we engage in often. I won't ask for hands. No, you should ask for hands. How many people here eat hand matzah at the Seder? Okay. How many people here eat machine matzah at the Seder? Okay. So here's a question. So once upon a time, in the early days of machine matzah, over a century ago, the chuvas were about, is it chametz or not? Because the early technology was very slow and very unreliable, and often there were real chametz issues. And that's what the postmen are discussing. Is it reliable? Is it not reliable? Is it good enough? Not good enough? That's not a problem at all nowadays. If anything, there's less chashash chimutz in well-done machine matzah. It's entirely predictable. Machines are built very well. They're very rapid. They're very efficient. 1, 2, 3. Everything's in motion the entire time. The baking goes in an extremely orderly fashion. Chametz is not an issue. The question is, though, it's kosher for Pesach, but is it kosher for Leil HaSeder? As we discussed before Pesach, all Pesach long, you're not allowed to eat chametz. If it's not chametz, it's not chametz. Whether it's an apple, which is not chametz, or a piece of bread, which is not chametz, what we call matzah, if it's not chametz, it's kosher. But Leil HaSeder, there's a chi of deraisa be'erev tochlu matzahs. I have a mitzvah, not just don't eat chametz, eat matzah. And that matzah we discussed has to be matzah mishumeres, not just that you made sure it's not chametz stick, that's kosher, but it's kosher l'mitzvah in the sense you had a seal l'shma. The matzah was made l'shem mitzvah. So then we'll ask, okay, if I have, not from 120 years ago, modern machine matzah, definitely not chametz, gewaldig, you don't call it moed. But how do I eat Leil HaSeder? Where's that seal l'shma? Oh, so the answer is, the answer is, koach hachmurbo. The answer is, if I start machinery, there's a human being, a Jew, who starts the machine with the intent that he's making matzah's mitzvah. He says l'shem matzah's mitzvah and presses a button. He says l'shem matzah's mitzvah and flips a switch, and then the machine starts rolling, and everything starts going, and they go on for hours and hours and hours. That's kifasa b'chama. That's koach hachmurbo. That's my maisa. It's my maisa for nezek. It's my maisa for chavala. It's the caliph's maisa if the caliph did it. In terms of Mamana Mazik, it's Rachman Tzlan, the human being's Maisa, can't say my, the human being's Maisa in the world of Ritzicha, and it's my Maisa in the world of Kinyan and Mashicha, and it's my Maisa in terms of Asiel Shema. That's what the post can point out. Reshechta points out that the based on this, the Rav took issue with some of Rosham Zalm and Arbach's Kulas that appear in the Shmini Shabbos Kalchasa. In terms of, again, how you define, draw this line between gram and maisa. Which again, until you learn the sugya, you might think of it sort of like totally unrelated discussions. But once you see the sugya, so the Rav pointed out, you look at the sugya, you realize that like it's the same issue that just coming up multiple nafkimis in different areas, but it's the same underlying issue. Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish is really relevant all over. So the Shmini Shabbos Lachas is a long discussion about, which has become less relevant with the advent of electronic Shabbos clocks. Back in the old days, you might still have rattling around in a drawer somewhere the old school non-electronic electric Shabbos clocks. Remember those things that they turn with the pins, the red pins and the green pins, right? It's mechanical. I mean, it's electrically powered. The thing turns, Right? The wheel turns slowly, and there's some of the pins are meant to switch the switch on, some of the pins switch the switch off, and you put the pin at the right time, and you watch the inexorable, right? It's turning, right? So Shmir Shabbos Hilchot says a long discussion. Well, let's see, you realize after Shabbos starts, you didn't set the Shabbos clock right. It's supposed to go on too early, it's supposed to go on too late. You forgot to set it to go on, forgot to set it to go off. There's a long discussion about when is it mutter to move the pins. Based on Psakim Rosh Hashanah and Arba. Maybe this is only a gram is still less, maybe it's even less than a gram. So the Rav pointed, and Rav took issue with that whole way of thinking. He said, what do you mean? None of that is a gram. It's true that he said, it's you're missing the point. The Gemara does talk about gram kibui as opposed to direct kibui. I set up a system where later on the barrel will eventually crack from the heat and put out the fire. So the Gemara says, sometimes that's just gram kibui. I'm causing kibui, I'm actually doing an active kibui. But the Rav pointed out, it's not just a question of is it happening right now or later. This comes up also in some of the modern grumma technology. Sometimes they have grumma technology they use for cholim who can't get around, a way of for a cholim to use certain electronic equipment using grumma. You see some of the tzomet devices. So it's based on the fact that under certain circumstances you should be allowed to do malacha de grumma. But the question is, and this is why there are different manufacturers who make their machines in different ways, what makes it a gram? So some folks can think, if it's delayed reaction, it's automatically a gram. Anything where it's delayed reaction is automatically only grama, not malacha. Well, the Rav pointed out is, you're missing the point. It's not just delayed reaction, it has to be that the koach acher isn't working yet. It has to be sof chama, the Gemara says, it's a Gemara Sanhedrin. We wouldn't have realized the Gemara Sanhedrin is relevant to Shabbos class. The Gemara Sanhedrin at Ritzicha is relevant to Shabbos class, because it's different applications of the same fundamental question: how do you define the line between Maisa Adam versus mere grama? So the point is not merely that there's a time delay. The point is that there's a time delay as a result of the Koach Acher only coming online after my Koach ended. Reuven put Shimon out in the desert at 11 o'clock at night. Several hours later, the sun begins to shine. As opposed to Reuven puts Shimon in the desert at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It may take hours for Rachman and Flan for Shimon to perish, but in that case, it is Ritzifah. Well, either way, there's time delay. But the question is, is there a time delay between the end of my Maisa and the beginning of the Koach Acher? That's the Gemara Sanhedrin. That's what I've pointed out, but the Shabbos, he was very hesitant to move the pins of the Shabbos clock at all, because everything's already working. The electricity is flowing, and in many cases, the thing you can watch the thing turn. So that's mamish. It may take hours for the pin that you put in, the pin you took out, the pin that you moved, to make a difference. But that's kefaso b'chama, because it's already turning. You did your maisa, and take it from yad, the koach acher kicks in. So that's yet another application. So this again. So what we've seen, and if you want, you can take a look. In Bikvei Atzon Siman Zayin, I told you earlier in the week that I wasn't sure whether we finish today. We have a little bit left for next week. What I would like to do is next week touch on two final nakudas in the sugya. There's loads to talk about. But let's recap where we've been, and then just point towards the two hanging threads I'd love to address together before we move to full Chazar mode.
Is that on Sunday?
Mirz Hashem. Two points. But let's see where we've been so far. We saw a sugya, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And we looked with Lamdash eyes, and we realized there's so much more depth and so much more breadth than we would think at first. The sugya about Eish is really a sugya about Adam. And really, it's not just about Adam HaMazik, it's about Maisa Adam in general. And we saw that it has application to certainly Nezek, and Chavalah, and Ritzicha, and Kinyanim, and potentially Melech HaShabbos. By all of which we differentiate, as well as Maman HaMazik, the Kalev case, by all of which we differentiate between Maisa and Grama. And we saw that the overarching Chiddush Rabbi Yochanan post Reish Lakish is that Reish Lakish thinks that once it's a Koach Acha Me'urav, it's no longer Ma'isa Adam. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's not a limiting factor. There are limiting factors, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, whom we accept La'alacha. One is Kalu Lo Chitzav, the end of the Sugya Chapimel. The other one we developed from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Zayin, is Sof Chama Lovo. If the Koach Acha only begins to work significantly after my Ma'isa, then there's no longer a connection. That is merely a grama. Two issues remain. One is the Chiddush of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim points out that there are areas of halacha. We've discussed a number. We've discussed, I think, five areas so far. But there are some areas where Koach Acha Me'urav isn't enough. Even though there are so many areas where Koach Acha Me'urav is enough, there are a few that apparently have a higher standard. So maybe we'll spend a few minutes talking about that. There's a higher standard of Ma'isa for which Koach Acha Me'urav does not suffice, even though generally B'chol Tahor Kula does. And then I want to wrap up by looking at the beautiful and famous Nimuk Yosef. Nimuk Yosef figured, now we begin talking about Halachas Shabbos in the world of Koach Acha Me'urav. He says, well, let's take it all the way. And he wants to know, I'll leave you with his kasha. This morning I just tease you to figure out what his kasha even is. And now I'll tease you with the kasha. He says, but we'll leave answers for next time. Nimuk Yosef says, I understand. So if I light a fire and it spreads, even if a wind spreads it, it all ultimately comes back to me. It's all my Maisa. It's my Maisa for Tzicha, it's my Maisa for Chaval, it's my Maisa for Nezek, for Achi of Taman, and so forth. So I understand. The Rav said, no, it's my Maisa for Chil Shabbos. Not just the Rav, the Nimuk Yosef makes that point. Centuries earlier. It's my Maisa for Chil Shabbos. Does that understand? I lit a fire in Erev Shabbos, and it continued to burn throughout Shabbos. And I have a tall candle. I have an 8-inch candle. I light it, and it's burning at an inch or two an hour. So, but that's all my Maisa. So the top inch of the candle burned before Shabbos began. Good. But the other 7 inches of the candle burned after Tzedek Kochavim, after Shkia, after Tzedek Kochavim. And it's all my Maisa. And maybe, no one pointed out, this might be a Kashim according to Reish Lakish. There's no wind, there's no Koach Acha Me'urav. This might be chitzav in the coin to Reish Lakish. I just lit the candle, it burns. What's the thing? The chemical. Okay, we could discuss what Reish Lakish would hold. But certain coin to Yochan, this is my Maisa. Chil Shabbos Daraisa. A mitzvah drabbar of Lakas near Shabbos. But why isn't it an Isser Daraisa? I'm burning. That burnt on Shabbos. It was my Maisa. So what doesn't. Something doesn't add up here. So we will pick up with those two hanging points, Mitzvah Shem, next time.